This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to Frequent Miler's Coffee Break, where we focus on a single topic related to miles and points.
And each coffee break is limited to 20 minutes or less, or your money back.
We have breaking news for you. Bilt is out with a sudden and crazy U-turn. Bilt released details of their new credit cards just this past Wednesday, and we've written extensively about it on our blog. We recorded a full-length episode of our podcast, which just released today on Friday as we're recording this update. And in our posts, in our conversations about these new Bilt cards, we talked about how these new cards can be very rewarding, but they're also extremely confusing. They introduced a new rewards type on top of Bilt points. You also have Bilt cash, and then there was a way to use Bilt cash to pay your rent or mortgage, and or to pay the fees that don't exist for your rent or mortgage. It's very confusing. Even the New York Times called Bilt 2.0 the most confusing rewards program we've ever seen. So Bilt heard us. They heard all this, all the complaints about the complexity. And unbelievably, they decided to double down with an even more confusing solution.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Hey, Nick, why don't you do the Bilt ad disclaimer this time?
All right. All right. So at the time of this recording, we are running an ad for Bilt on the audio only version of the podcast. You don't see it if you're on the YouTube version. Despite all of that, the opinions expressed here are completely our own. We're always going to tell you what we believe, good or bad, regardless of who's an advertiser or who's not. So we want to make that very clear. These opinions are obviously our true opinions, and I don't think anybody's going to question that today.
Because... not today, Zerg. Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's talk about it. Well, I mean, so you said that they doubled down and made it more confusing. And as I read this out loud, I said to myself, oh my goodness. It went from hard to explain to I need a PowerPoint and a calculator and a laser pointer. So if you're listening to this in podcast form, it might be tough. But we're going to try to walk you through it.
It would be tough in any form that I can imagine. But yeah, so what's so crazy is that Bilt released they did a news release on Friday afternoon. This was just 2 days after all the releases about the, you know, card details. And I really wish they had like taken the weekend to sleep on it, because the point of the email was like, hey, we heard you. It was confusing. You want a simpler way to pay rent for free? And I'll tell you right now, this is not simpler. So what they did is they added a new option on top of the previously reported confusing option. And you would think if there was a new option, it would be really simple. All right, let me just read what option one is. This is the new option. A simple fee-free way to earn rewards on housing. Now, if I stop there, it would sound simple.
Hey, that sounds awesome. Free way to earn rewards. Isn't that, that's what everybody wanted, right?
Right, right.
They heard us.
All right. Now there are bullet points. Pay your full rent or mortgage every month with no transaction fee. Earn points on housing automatically in lieu of earning Bilt cash. The more you use your card for everyday spend, the higher your points multiplier on housing. Now up to 1.25x.
And that actually sounds pretty good so far, right? So you're going to pay your rent or mortgage with no transaction fee. You're going to earn points on housing instead of the Bilt cash that we already said, basically, like we thought was too confusing. And we didn't really know what it was going to be worth apart from the ability to earn rewards on your rent or mortgage. So on the surface, I like the idea of getting rid of the Bilt cash and simplifying here and now earning up to 1.25 points per dollar. That sounds pretty good, but it's more confusing.
Yeah, I mean, the but is that the multiplier you get on your rent payment depends on how much you use the card for other things outside of paying for housing, and it's a percentage of that. So they say, like, for example, if you spend up to 25%, if you spend at least 25% of your monthly rent on everyday stuff, then you earn half a point per dollar. So I guess if you spend less than 25%, you don't earn anything. Is that how you understand that, Nick?
That's how I understand that, but the fact that we have to ask each other how about
Right.
it tells me that it's not clear enough. Yeah, but I
Actually,
think so. I think so.
come to think of it, I think there was a note at the bottom that said you're going to always earn at least 250 points or something. I don't remember.
Okay, all right. That may be.
Okay, but if you spend at least 50% of your monthly rent and presumably or mortgage, then you get up to 0.75x multiplier. You get up to 1x multiplier if you spend at least 75% of your monthly rent, and you get a 1.25x multiplier if you spend the same or more as your monthly rent. I guess if this had been the only option from the get-go, then yeah, it wouldn't be as confusing as that whole built cash situation, right?
Yeah, I mean, on the surface, that's not necessarily terrible. Like, if that was the entire story, then okay, we could tell that story. And I think most people could probably follow it. I think it's still very problematic because I think that there's tough percentages here, right? I mean, if you don't have a rent that's in an even amount and you're not a really a math inclined person, knowing what, like, when you're going to hit the 75% mark and tracking whether you've spent 75% of your rent or 50% of your rent. I know they're going to put a tracker in the app, but having to check that to see how much you've spent, I think is kind of onerous. And then trying to decide, okay, well, how much is 0.75 points per dollar of my rent if I spend 50% of my rent on my card? Like, it's too much thinking. It's too much thinking. And some people that are math inclined will find this simple enough to understand and be able to track that. And truth be told, if you've got spend that more or less matches your rent every month, then the 1.25 points per dollar might not seem bad, although it might not be as good as what you could get with the built cash option, right?
That's right. That's right. As I read it, as someone who did apply for the card on the first day it was released, I had plans to maximize the built catch option to where you could get up to 1.33, not really of your. So that's where it's very different. It's not 1.33 of your rent, it's 1.33 of your other spend. And anyway, so
Well,
figuring out.
I'm sorry. I was gonna say, and it was possible, like, if you didn't want to earn rewards on part of your rent, or like, it's gotten complicated because now it has to do with the percentage of your rent. And before, there was a way to pay a fee if you wanted to pay a fee, or it's hard to sit here and say it was simpler before because it was way complicated before. But this makes it additionally kind of complicated to figure out, is this better than option two? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing is comparing one option to the other is really hard, and I can't wrap my head around it. I've only had an hour to sit with this or so. But anyway, so option two is the old way, 2 days old,
The old new way, right?
where you earn 4% of all your spend on these new credit cards. You earn 4% built cash in on top of whatever points the card earns. And then when you go to pay your rent or mortgage, the built cash is used to make the mortgage or rent payments earn points.
Exactly.
Right? We don't have to explain it because we explained it really clearly in our full length
Hopefully.
podcast that is now completely out of date. Thanks, Built. Okay. So anyway, so now we have these two options, and yeah, I think they got rid of there was another option before where you could opt to, if you didn't have enough built cash, you could opt to pay a fee so that you keep earning points for the extra part of the mortgage that you didn't have enough built cash to cover. And I would have never recommended that anyway. So I think that's good they got rid of that option. But anyway, okay. So that's where we're at now is they did a quick U-turn, added a new, simplified, more confusing option.
Right.
And what do you think? Is this so obviously we think it's confusing, but is this
Right.
helpful?
No, it's not. And it's not because, like Greg said, we've only had about an hour to digest this. You and I are people that live and breathe loyalty programs and rewards, right? I mean, we're people who wake up in the morning and bust out the calculator to figure out how we can earn the most number of points on our cup of coffee or whatever it might
And we
be,
just
right?
found
So
out our our calculators are not powerful enough for this situation.
Well, that's the thing, you know, like if I have to stop and be like, oh, wait a second, I got to figure this puzzle out. That's not a good sign for something that's designed to be applicable to a broad segment of people. And I'm sure that folks at Built would argue, well, it's not that hard if you blah, 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 blah. But that's the problem. You need the if you blah, 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 because it's not that easy yeah. either. And it's not something that, you know, my issue with the new system already was that it's kind of hard to explain to somebody who's not knee deep in rewards. And now it's even harder to explain the two options and help somebody figure out which one is better for them. Now, I said before that I would be interested in getting the Palladium card. I think the Obsidian card, forget about paying rent, the Obsidian card I think is worth it for the 3X grocery because it transfers to such valuable partners. I would forget about the complexity at all and still consider that card personally. But the Palladium card's going to work out for me probably. But man, I how could I possibly recommend that to someone? And I think especially in a market where the Venture X exists, it's so mm-hmm. simple. And if you were craving simplicity in your life, this isn't it. And I feel like Built presented this in part. They mentioned they didn't want to go the coupon book model. They wanted something simpler and easy. And if you're somebody with a busy lifestyle where you felt a little fatigue from tracking all the coupons on the various coupon books and when you're seeking a little more simplicity in your life, this ain't it. Like,
no, it's not. It's not. I think so. You know, my son is someone who's paying like a little bit of rent, and he has the 1.0 card. I've been trying to figure out what to recommend to him because at first I thought, oh, Built Cash, that's gonna be so valuable for him. And then as I learn more about the limitations that are likely to exist with using it for stuff outside of rent, I thought no, he should do it entirely. And I actually at the moment think this new option will probably work out better for him than the old option, but I'm not sure. And if I'm not sure, as you were saying, I mean, how can the average consumer figure this out? They can't. No.
And it doesn't bode well for the future of Built Cash because, you know, kind of bearing that as like an option two now doesn't make me feel bullish on the options that are going to get launched for Built Cash because now it's kind of like an also ran second option that's way more complex sounding. And so like the people who are going to choose that are people who are, you know, really into the calculator and the math. And I can't imagine that's mm-hmm. going to be the majority. I imagine most people will look at the 4% option and get so confused that they'll be like, I'm just going to go with option one. I spent about half my rent on my card and that's yeah. that's easier to understand. So that doesn't bode well for the future of Built Cash, I don't think.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they sunset this option too after a while. There we go. So anyway, we wanted to get this episode out to you as fast as we could. So sorry if it's not crystal clear. Well, I'm sure we'll be back with more information in the future as things continue to evolve.
If you love travel but don't always have time to plan, we've got a podcast for you.
It's called Travel in 10, and in every episode, in about 10 minutes, we give you a smart, practical overview of destinations all around the world.
We cover what to see, where to stay, where to eat, and what actually matters when you're planning out a trip.
It's designed for real life. Listen on the way to the airport, in the car, or while you're thinking about your next getaway.
So if you want expert advice, zero fluff, and travel inspiration that you can actually use, search for Travel in 10 wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can also find us at voyescape.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Siegel, and man, oh man, do I love talking about travel. You think I'd get enough of it, touring the world as a stand-up comedian, or just going off on my own personal adventures around the world? No, when I get home, I still have to talk about it. That's how much I love travel. So every week I sit down with a friend, a travel expert, influencer, expat, or anyone from any walk of life who shares my passion for travel. So if you want to hear a fun, casual, off-the-cuff chat about travel from people who love it, listen to the Travel Tales podcast with me, Mike Siegel, wherever you get your podcasts.